Welcome to this episode of Under the Helmet. It's funny, I have covered the APDFL for years, and one of the first interviews I always wanted to get to was my guest today. He is the head coach, owner, helmet painter, lion striper, motorcycle rider, fisherman, dad. That man has like 47 jobs, but you know him as the head coach of the Mississippi Dynasty, my guy Mike Lloyd. Good evening, coach. How are you?
Man, doing good, man. What about yourself?
Not bad, not bad. You know, first, even not even football related, I heard y'all got some snow down there. What was that like?
Oh, man, it was beautiful, man. It was, you know, it wasn't major snow like up north, but I think it's always nice to have a little white snow for the kids to see, you know, for the first time on the ground here in Mississippi.
Now, you have a little boy. What was his first reaction when you saw him, like,
well,
in the snow?
When he first saw it, man, he was like, "What is that, Dad?" And I thought it was snow. And you know, I think I posted a video on Facebook of him. He was, like, trying to eat it because it was so soft. So, you know, it's pretty funny.
Now, Coach, you are, as people know, the Dynasty have won the last three APDFL championships. How do you find the motivation to keep doing it every year? Like, you have a bunch of awards and trophies. What gives you that drive going into trying to win it for a fourth consecutive?
I think the drive, man, it starts off with personal drive and my players and my coaches to always want to be the best. I mean, if you always want to be the best after, you know, we win in 17 is over, so now you got to be the best in 18. You win in 18, well, 18 is over. So now, you know, 19 is around the corner. Hey, you got to, if you want to be the best, you got to win again. So I think it definitely starts with self-motivation in each player, you know, and coach. And then we just, you know, put it together in the offseason.
Now, one of the things that makes the Dynasty is the ability to adjust the game situations. There's never a time when your sideline looks pressed or they don't look like they're in any trouble. Where, I'll give you an example, you've had other teams accumulate leads on you, be it the Generals a couple of years ago or the Patriots. How do you maintain that sense and semblance of calm throughout the storm?
Man, I think we've been playing together so long. I think all the guys just kind of have found a comfort in each other. I mean, at the end of the day, even like our last loss with the Kings, you know, it's like the sideline, I mean, all the way until the clock says 0-0-0, like nobody pressed. So I think we just being around each other, like I said, always having a good offseason, just doing the small things we do, you know, as far as away from football, I think it just kind of gives everybody that calm feeling to, you know, until the clock says 0-0, you know, this game is not over. Whether we win or lose, we know at the end of the day, hey, we just need to give it our all.
One of the hallmarks of a good organization is the ability to win while still getting younger. You have a veteran team. However, with each passing year, you add younger talent. How does that influence the locker room? You have so many veterans, but you also have young talent. What is that balance like?
That's a funny question, man. We just had practice last Saturday. It was pretty cold, but we some of the new guys that were coming in, you know, they kind of was hit with the, man, you know, we got so many old guys. You know, they was talking about guys that had won with us. But then, you know, when I started naming, okay, well, you know, here go the new guys that been playing with us. And it's probably about, I mean, right now it's probably 60-40. There's more veteran guys than the new guys, but every year, it's always good to have those veterans like, you know, Jeremy Judd and Big Gladden and Big Lewis and Sam, you know, Steve, guys that put the work in, and it's not just, you know, we just good players and we get out here and play. It's about, hey, we pay our fees, we go to practice. You know, we learn the playbook. We trust the coaches. We trust each other. And when the new guys come in, you know, initially every new guy, you know, like going to a new job where you got to see what everybody else is doing, you know, to be successful. And that's what you got to do. So, you know, it's not really a hard process. The players pretty much, you know, show each other, you know, this is what it takes to be a champion. So, you know, we expect nothing less from you.
Now, just even on the field, I'm going to take a guy like Jay Hicks. Jay Hicks was a running back when you beat the Patriots. He has transitioned back to his natural position at linebacker. With the shortened COVID season, we kind of saw him thrive at linebacker. What makes him a good linebacker to you?
Man, listen, one thing about Jay Hicks that I think what makes him a really good player, first and foremost, is the fact that he's an honest person. Whether he likes something he does, or does not like something someone else does, he'll be open and honest about it. So, you know, they transition easy on the football field because if he miss a play, he knows that, you know, he'll tell himself, hey, you know, I'm a better player than it. So the next play, he's not going to miss it, you know. And I think it's just that competitive nature in him, which makes him a good player. You know, we also play him at quarterback, you know, and you know, it's like, you know, it's nothing. Like, he's just a beast. But it's just the fact he can also, being a beast, and you can take coaching and criticism from your coaches and your players, just makes you even more dangerous.
He just wants to win. You have a bunch of guys, but you have a guy in LaStephen Jackson, who has won awards everywhere, transitioned to the defense side of the ball last year. What was that talk like, talking a league MVP quarterback into transitioning to defense?
All right, so the first thing was he talked himself into defense. I would never, ever, ever talk to Steven Jackson out of playing offense and quarterback. But, you know, I understand, because at the end of the day, you know, playing this game, is you definitely want to do something you love. And he's a DB at heart, and it's something that he wanted to do. So I would not, you know, strip that of him, you know, because he loved it. So I was just, you know, I was open about it, and I just let him know, hey, you know, if you go over there, you make sure you play your heart out. But I knew he was going to do that anyway because he's a competitor. So, you know, it was a tough transition mentally for me, but it was not anything hard, because I knew that our defense, which was already a very strong defense, was just going to get that much more stronger because of the competitive nature that he brought, along with, you know, Sam Hicks, you know, Judd, Henderson back there. So it's a pretty easy transition.
Now, you mentioned Lewis earlier. Lewis Ellis is one of the two best defensive tackles in the APDFL. I saw a picture of Lewis. There was like a Christmas picture. Lewis got in ridiculous shape now. Yeah, what is that going to be like for offensive guards in the league this year?
Well, the thing that people did not know about Lewis was, probably for 2 years, I would say, and, you know, I don't mind saying this because this is my brother, and, you know, I'm honest with all my players. He's probably been lazy for 2 years, like lazy. But I think the emergence of his brother, Sam, you know, they call each other brothers now, Sam Washington, coming in playing, I think he got rejuvenated with having that guy beside him and bringing in that spark. And, man, if an offensive lineman thought it was hard to block him then, they don't want to see him 100 pounds later.
He looked like he dropped about 35, 40, and I'm just like, oh, Lord. It just, like, when you look at the Dynasty defensive line, you have Sam, you have Lewis, Dustin Evans, who works in that mold, the ends, and Roy, Ted.
Yep.
You have speed on the outside. What do teams not understand if you have strength in the middle and speed on the outside that makes that front four so difficult?
I think it's just the mentality of football coaches. Of course, the first thing you have to do is try to make sure that a defense does not make you one-dimensional. The problem with that is, if you can't block the defensive line on run plays, they'll make you one-dimensional. So we definitely try to strive to make sure we continue to grow the D-line. I think we added, you know, some nice pieces this year. And last year for COVID, you know, we added some nice pieces that people didn't really get to see, but it's not just, you know, it's in every phase of the team that we try to make sure we continue to grow. We don't, it's never enough, you know. I know people feel like Sam and Lewis can do it themselves and Dustin, but those three all got hurt in the same game when we won our last championship, and you know, other guys had to step up and play. So that's why I never myself is complacent with we have enough. Like, it's never enough. That you know, we on the Mississippi adult page, you know, we get on there and we talk, and people always say, you know, y'all have enough talent, why y'all continue to recruit? Because it's never enough. It's never enough.
One of the NFL once told me, you can never have enough pass rushers. And that's one of the things that people in the league don't understand, where guys don't really buy into that. Now, I want to talk about Roy Williams. Roy Williams in 2017 had one of the best seasons in semi-pro history. Entering 2021, do you think he's going to take steps back towards that level?
I think with Roy, he would be, I think now, then I think he was more of a premier end, because at that point we had him and KJ Keelan Johnson. Those were the only two just premier ends that we had. But now it's more by committee. So I don't think his numbers will be as high, and that's not because he's not a good player, but that's because now, hey, he does not have to play on first and second down. Or, you know, if he plays on first and second down, you know, he don't have to play on the next first and second down. So now he's fresh. You know, I believe, you know, then 2017, if we would have had someone else that could come in and give him, you know, some breaks, he probably would have, you know, had 35, 40 sacks. But, you know, you get tired some plays, you take off some plays when you don't have a substitute, you know, that can come in and give you that same energy. So right now, like I said, with Ted and Trey and, man, Dustin popping out at the end sometimes, Sam, it's going to be hard for him to continue to have those big numbers, but he definitely will have impact games and plays that will help us ultimately win the championship, and that's what our goal is every year. Personal stats will never be. Go ahead.
Moving into the secondary, you have, by all accounts, the premier shutdown corner in Amos Tatum. You have Tyron Lemon, who is evolved. He's a former safety who's evolving into a corner. What has Amos's influence leadership done for Lemon?
Man, once again, I think, you know, I hate to repeat myself, but going back to the, you know, when you're a competitor, you're a competitor. It's not just I'm a competitor when I'm the best on the team. It's I'm a competitor when somebody's challenging me to be the best. So when Lemon coming in, Lemon is a great player. He can play man. He can play zone. Like you said, he can play safety. He can play corner. Well, Amos takes that as a challenge to make sure he remains the top dog. And, you know, whether he's the top dog or not the top dog by other people, he want to make sure he can see it. But those two guys, man, work out together. You know, they love the competition. So, you know, that's always good when you have guys like that can bring it together and put it on the field against another team. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm ready.
Now, spinning towards the offense, there are three players I want to talk about. Your quarterback, Joe Thomas. I want to talk about Roderick Gladney, and I want to talk about Jaron Mallory. First, with Joe Thomas. Starting last year, I mean, just on, Joe throws a good ball. What makes Joe, who's a veteran, a different type of passer?
I think what makes Joe a different type of passer is the fact that he was a athlete in high school and college. And I think as he's gotten, you know, older and played different positions in college, I think he just realized that, hey, you know, let me be a smarter athlete and be able to use my arm better. And he definitely loves to throw the ball. Like he can throw the 50-50 ball amazingly accurate to give the receivers, like, you know, Corey and Jaren a chance to make that play.
He throws it with good velocity, too. That's one thing I have noticed. He throws a nice tight spiral, and it has good flick of the wrist. Now, with Roderick Gladney, he's the centerpiece and the cornerstone of that offensive line. As a guard, he's played tackle. What makes him such a good leader in the locker room?
Well, for Big Glenn, I think it's just more so of him just being an open person. You know, I don't have a lot of guys that's really quiet on my team, and it's crazy, you know, that we don't have more arguments on the field, but, I guess the guys, they're professionals, you know, also. So with Glennon, he's a guy that can be coach and they can coach, and that's always a good thing to have at the semi-pro level because, you know, none of us know too much, and it's always good to have guys that can help you out from the coaching side and from the player side to help us be better. You know, as long as we're not complacent in any part of the team, I think we'll continue to be a good team, organization.
Now, have you tried to convince him that, you know, 3 or 5 more years is a good type of story for him instead of this?
Well, I know at the end of the day, you know, all these guys have families and or, you know, want to start a family one day. And I know some of them can't play forever, but, you know, if I could, what I try to do is if we can have these guys just around the program, they can always bring, you know, some type of light on what they have accomplished. You know, I'd rather have that than have a guy to play forever and, you know, he really not love it anymore. He just only playing because we asked him to.
Now, two of the players, like I mentioned, Jeremy Malley, I also want to talk about a new addition, Darrell Lovelady. He is coming from another team. What do you think will be his toughest adjustment going from another team to the Dynasty?
I think his toughest adjustment will be just the talent around him. That would be me. I think he had talent. On other teams, you know, it's talent. When you play football, it takes talent to do that anyway. But I think it's just so much talent from the other guys that can run the ball. You know, he can play receiver, but we have so many other guys that can play receiver. You know, he can return kick. We have other guys that can return kick. So I think him being able to adjust to the talent that's around him, you know, and learn to use it to his advantage and not see it as a, you know, somebody holding him back or a weakness would be his biggest adjustment.
Now, last question. We have a receiver in Corey Tucker who will play a role this year, and you have Aaron Mallory. What has, over the last 2 years, what has Tuck done to mentor Mallory? Like, what have you seen the difference in Jeremiah?
I think with Corey is definitely a good player. I think Corey is a pretty humble guy. He's probably a better player than he even, you know, would acknowledge that he is, because he's a blocker. You know, he can catch the deep ball. He can catch the short ball. He's actually, you know, pretty fast. Don't let him hear me say that. But, you know, but with Jaren, it's all going to be on him. Jaren is a guy that can do it. We can do it all, but it's going to depend on, you know, how much he wants it. Like, if you want it, you're going to get it. But if, you know, he don't want it, they're not going to give it to him. So, you know, that will be his thing moving forward. You know, how much do you want it? You want it, let's go get it.
Now, Coach, before we close, where can people follow you all on social media?
Y'all can follow us at the Mississippi Dynasty. We're on Facebook. And of course, you can go to the APDFL.net, you know, and check out our page, and it's linked to our Facebook page. And, man, just check us out on YouTube. We have plenty of things on YouTube, and, you know, come check us out in Pearl this year.
Thank you. Another episode of Under the Helmet, Coach Mike Lloyd, the Mississippi Dynasty. Thank you so much for joining us this week.
Appreciate it.